morning.
Good morning.
So I thank the elders for the opportunity to speak this morning. And I know you guys think, isn't that the same guy from class? Well, yes, it is. It's the same guy from class, although I'm not wearing my sweater now. So once again, it's a pleasure and it's an honor to be able to present this lesson to you. And it's something that, honestly, I've been thinking about for a long time. Just to be honest with you, you know, I've been having a lot of trouble with my own faith, past several months. Just been a lot going on. I think that even in this congregation, I feel like there's been a lot going on that's been really, really troublesome for us. And it's really kind of shaken myself. And so I got to thinking about what I wanted my lesson to be about this morning. And I kind of centered on the idea that, you know, there's a feeling that I've had quite a few times recently, just feeling almost as if I'm stuck and something that I spiritually can't get out of, and continually praying to come unglued, so to speak, feeling very much in the same patterns and walking and going through the motions rather than being the worker of the Lord that I know I should be. And so the idea is centered around what happens to you when you start to sink. Let's talk about, first of all, that there is a sea raging around us. We have to acknowledge that, right? We've got to admit to ourselves that all around us is chaos. Even if it may not even be directly happening to you, all around you this is going on. And it might be directly happening to you. You might be actually going through this storm and it might be happening to you. But very often what happens, what we find is that if it's not happening to you, it's happening around you. We have to understand that there is dangers out there with that. There are times when we feel abandoned. There are times where you feel as if you're the only person looking out for you. You're the only person that you can rely on. And it makes you extremely distrustful of people in general. Makes you distrustful of any kind of assistance. It makes you distrustful of everything. And sometimes, you know, as a Christian, it can make you very distrustful of God. And this is the kind of mentality that I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about feeling alone. I'm talking about feeling abandoned. I'm talking about feeling as if there is nobody, that you are sinking, and there's nothing that's going to get you out of that. And this life can be brutal. I mean, you might be living one day, and everything's going great. And then the next day, everything starts to derail. An event, sickness. We're going to talk about all these things that we could be facing that could be causing us to sink further and further down. And oftentimes, because we're going through these trials, because the storm is raging around us, we have questions and these doubts start to creep into our minds, especially with our faith, especially in the God that we seek to serve. Why is this happening? We start asking ourselves, why? And then we come up with our own conclusions as to why. And we understand that the stress from these storms can overwhelm us. The anxiety that it creates can be too much to bear. I myself have, with school and work and all these roles that I put on very often, I come up with some anxiety. Simply because I feel like everybody's relying on me and I'm worried that I'm going to fail. And I know firsthand what anxiety feels like. However, some people live in perpetual anxiety. And that in and of itself can be extremely difficult to deal with. That in and of itself can make you feel as if you're just sinking and sinking and sinking and there's no possible way out. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14, because this is really what we're going to focus our study on today. Now, of course, this is the scene in which Peter sees Christ walking on the water. And then Peter calls out to the Lord and he asks if he can come out. We're going to see what happens when he does that. So In chapter 14, starting in verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And when evening had come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter, being Peter, asked him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter came out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And we see here that this is an act of courage. This is an act of courage and empowerment from seeing Christ. Right? His immediate reaction wasn't, "Get off the water, Jesus, into this boat." He said, "Let me come to you. If you're doing that, I could do that too. Let me come to you." He's excited. He's taking courage from Christ and seeing him. But when he saw that the wind, verse 30, was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Then the focus started to fall off of Christ. The focus started falling onto the waves. And how the waves were crashing and how the waves were overtaking him. And so he began to sink. And he reached out for help. And so Peter, in this very, very literally, was sinking. And he reached out for help and he asked the Lord to help. And so this is the kind of sinking that I'm talking about. Where the waves of life are crashing over us and we're focused on those things. And we know we should be focused on God. We should be focused on the blessings that God gives to us. However, we just can't. Because we're human. Right? When we look all around us and we see that the storm is raging around us, it can overwhelm us. And it can cause us to start sinking. We see bills and financial trouble being part of that storm that can sink us. There's been times in my life where my phone's been shut off because I didn't have enough money to pay that bill. But at the same time, thankfully, you know, there's been times in my life where I've had enough money to pay my bills. However, there are some times in some people's lives, if it's not happening to me, it's happening around me. There are times where people will struggle. And struggle for years and years and not being able to get out of it. And that could put you into a downward spiral. It can make you feel like you're just sinking and sinking and sinking and sinking. What about illness? Illness can cause the same thing, especially something that's just not getting better. Maybe not you, maybe someone around you. Maybe a death. Just leaves you feeling lost. And we can't really explain it. It's hard to explain when something like that happens and then that you're going through it because you want to be able to convey just the depths of sorrow that you're in to someone who doesn't know the depths of sorrow that you're in. And you're trying to explain it. And there's not really a way that they can understand it the way that you understand it, which can make you feel even more lonely. What about relationships? When relationships end, it's a struggle. Whether or not it's a romantic relationship or whether it's just a friendship, you know, those things you can struggle with. And in high school, I see it all the time. When friendships end, they don't end well. Oftentimes, it's met with a whole onslaught of a bunch of other problems. And, you know, I'm 36 years old. And so when I see that happening, the kids don't know how to cope with it. They feel as if they are lost, that they are sunk, because all their friends have now turned their backs on them. They don't have a clue that it's going to be okay, that you're going to pass through this. But even when you say those words to those students, they look at you and they say, how? You tell me exactly how this is going to be all right. You can't really offer it except for your experience in life. But it's really difficult for them to feel that. Legal trouble, addictions. You know, these things can make you feel as if you're trapped and it just won't let go. There's no way to make it let go. All these things can throw you into the sea. And like I said, it causes distrust with not only ourselves and our loved ones, pushing away very often the people that are trying to help you. Be a downward spiral. Could cause you to come down with this overwhelming anxiety. Can cast you into depression. Can cause you physical pain. But most of all, what we're talking about is this hopelessness. This feeling as if there is no hope. And we live in a world where we have an alarming number of people who feel hopeless and they take their own life. And as a teacher, that's something very real to me. I've had students go from school to home and take their own life. I've had several students threaten to do the same. And it messes with you as a teacher, first of all, because you understand the importance of who you are in their life. But at the same time, you start to ask questions about yourself. Now, of course, it wasn't my fault. Like, I'm convinced it was not my fault. But I'm still asking questions about myself. What could I have done? When that person was sinking, what could I have done? Sometimes the answer is, humbly enough, it's a hard pill to swallow, but sometimes there's nothing you could have done. And you have to understand that. However, we're going to focus on some other things here. You know, we see in Matthew chapter 14, verse 31, Jesus asked, why did you doubt? He said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said, oh, you've little faith. Why did you doubt? And these are hard questions to answer. Why do we doubt? Well, one thing, this life is tough, and we're just humans. We lack the breadth of view to understand a lot of the things that we go through. And we lack the experience and the knowledge of whether or not that's going to be okay when we come out on the other side. We are all of a sudden thrown into what we call a fight or flight mentality. And the problem is that when you're casting these problems, your fight or flight mentality is activated, but you have no idea what you're fighting. You have no idea how to fight it. And you have no idea how to run away from it. And that's where the hopelessness really sets in. Right? You want to fight for yourself, but you don't know how. You want to run from your problems, but you just can't. So how do we fight the storms of life? Well, I'm going to read something real quick. And I want to talk about the hope in this scripture. And then I want to talk about how that hope manifests itself. So let's go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 8. Starting there in verse 31, and we've read this several times, and very often this is a scripture that I come to when I'm feeling as if I'm hopeless. But at the same time, it's not just this scripture that I look to when I'm feeling hopeless, when I feel like I'm sinking. So let's look at what this says. It says, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him who freely gave us all things? Who shall bring the charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. It is he who condemns. It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The scripture says that Christ is on your side. God is on your side. And he always has been. But how do you know? When you're sinking and you're reaching out, you're looking for someone to grab your hand. And this scripture is saying that God is there. God has always been there. We have to understand that we, as God's vessels, we need to be there. When someone is falling and sinking, they need to be physically, they need to have somebody physically there. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we see that we are vessels of the Lord. Starting in verse 27, it says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And so you are a vessel of the Lord. And when God says in Romans chapter 8 that he is there, that neither height nor depth nor principalities nor power can separate you from the love of Christ, we can also insert ourselves from there, that nothing should separate us from the love of our brethren. We are vessels of the Lord, and we need to reach out. And this is something that I'm speaking not only to myself, but I'm speaking to you. We need to reach out. We're talking about what happens when our brethren feel as if they're sinking. What happens when our neighbors feel as if they're sinking? What happens when our students feel that they are sinking? Well, you're a vessel of the Lord. In Galatians, we see that we're to bear one another's burdens. That we are to be able to throw on our back some of the problems that they're going through and help bear the load for those who are in Christ. In Romans chapter 12, go ahead and turn there to Romans. Starting in verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually steadfasting in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, and bless those who do not curse. And do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of man. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to the wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals on his head. But do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How do we stand against the storms of life? We do the work of the Lord. And the story is two-part. What we see is that Peter, when he starts sinking, what does he say? He says, Lord, help me. He calls out for help. And then who's there to reach out? The Lord. And so in the very same manner, we have to be willing to admit to ourselves that we're sinking. Which is a tough thing. When you're feeling that hopelessness, and you're feeling as if you're the only person going through it, you've got to admit to yourself that you're sinking. And then you have to reach out. You have to say, Lord, help me. Because if you don't, you're going to sink. But when somebody reaches out, Who's going to grab that hand? Is it you? Is it you? Is it you? Who's going to grab that hand? When somebody says, I am sinking, who's going to grab that hand? And we understand that this is right here in Romans chapter 12. What we just read wasn't necessarily just for the brethren in Christ. This was for everyone. This was for my students. This is for my neighbors. This is for my family. You know, all these things, we need to be of that mindset that we are vessels of the Lord. And when somebody is sinking and reaches out for help, we have to be willing to do that. We see that people need to know that they are loved. They have to. They have to have. And this is exactly why I believe that Jesus gave us the church. This is exactly why you're here for me and I'm here for you. So when we take a look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, this is something that teachers are very attuned to. This is something that is part of childhood psychology and really just psychology of adults as well. But this is what we need, right? At the very bottom, I don't know if you can see it, but at the very bottom it says physiological needs, okay? Then you need to feel safe. Then you need to feel love and belonging in your life. Then you need self-esteem. Then you need self-actualization. We're going to talk about what each of these means here in a second. So down here, these are all physiological needs that you need, right? These are all the physical things that you need. But then you have to have the safety. You have to have the security of these things. And what we see is that not just safety from harm, but also knowing that that you have safety and employment and resources. You have a healthy family. You have your health. You have property. All these things go along with that safety. And then you need your friendship. You need your family. You need your marriage to be working right. Then you need to have self-esteem and confidence. And these things we can help to give each other, right? And then self-actualization, that top one we talk about, morality and creativity and spontaneity, this is you feeling comfortable being you. And so teachers take a look at this, and we understand that these are roles that teachers need to be playing in the lives of our students. And I'm telling you that you need to be playing a role in the lives of your brethren. These very same things. Because someone is sinking somewhere. Someone is lacking something. And if it's not you, it might be around you. And so when we take a look at all these needs that people have, we understand that there are things that we can do. There are things that we can do to reach out in the name of God and pull someone back up. And so this is your opportunity. What can we do as Christians? And this is the idea of what does our reaching out look like? So I want you guys to suggest some things. When we reach out, what can we do? What can we do to show each other that we love each other? Go ahead.
One of the most important things we can do is contact people. And we all know those that aren't here that are in the midst of this. We know some of our loved ones are not here. And I know with myself, I can do a much better job of reaching out. But it's not something that just Kevin has to do or Jesse, but we all need to make an effort. I know we've got some in here that are absolutely fantastic at reaching out, but they shouldn't have to be the only ones that do that.
Absolutely. And so the scriptures that we read are not just for one person. It's not just for me. It's not just for Kevin. But it's for all of us. There's a reason why it's written there for us. It's because it's supposed to be all of us. What is something else? So we talk about contacting those who aren't here or contacting those who are sick. What are some other things that we could do? Go ahead.
Be visible. I mean, if I'm reaching out to you because I feel like you're, but then you come to church and I'm not here. Or if I'm not around when we have gatherings, then what am I showing you? In being a brother.
Right. And we see that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But that's not, you know, as far as I understand it, it's not all about you. It's about other people too. And other people take strength from you being there. And they will miss you when you're not there. I guarantee it. You may not think so, but that's the way that it is. And so, because our presence is so important, when the presence is not there, as Kevin said, we need to make sure that we're contacting those who are not here. We need to make sure that we're reaching out to those. We need to make sure that we're reaching out physically, and we need to make sure that we're reaching out emotionally to them as well. Go ahead.
You got to make sure that everybody knows they're a priority. They're important to me. You're important to me. Our elders are important to me. Each member here is important to me, and I love them.
Amen. You feel that? You understand that there are things that you can do to make people know that you love them. And so when we're talking about sinking, and somebody's sinking around us or us sinking ourselves, when we reach out or someone else reaches out, love needs to reach back. And that's for all of us. That goes for all of us. They have to know that we're there for them. Otherwise, they're never going to reach out. They're never going to cry out for help, because if they don't think that anybody's going to be on the other end, they're just not going to do it. It takes everything for them to reach out and say, "Help me, Lord." And who's going to be there to take the hand? And like Brother Kevin said, I need to do this too. I need to step up what I do to make sure that each of you guys know that I love you. I need to make sure that the people who aren't here know that I love them. You know, we have cards in the back just about every week. Think about that. Is that something that we could do that shows people that we love them? Absolutely. What about your neighbors? What about your extended family? Right? What about those people that you work with? Does Romans chapter 12, does it read as if it's just for your brethren in Christ? You need to live peaceably with all men. You need to rejoice with those who rejoice, and you need to weep with those who weep. Right? This is your life. This is your life's work. Because so many people are going to be around you, reaching out, saying, "Help me." And guess what? You're going to be there. You're going to be there. And sometimes it's a lot tougher than other things. Sometimes it might just be have a heart-to-heart with somebody and being able to listen to what they have to say, and that will help them. But sometimes it might demand much more of you. And are you willing to reach out? We read earlier this morning, Brother Joe read for us, in that context we see that it is no longer Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So who reached out for Peter? It was Christ. He reached out for Peter. When Peter reached out, Christ was there, and he reached and he pulled him out. And so when we say that we are dead to sin, we've raised to walk in newness of life, that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, who should be reaching out? If Christ lives in us, you need to reach out. You need to pull that person out of the water. Christ physically did it. And there are so many ways that we can do it too. We have to first of all understand what it feels like, at least a little bit, what it feels like to be in that drowning, hopeless state. And understand that we would never want ourselves to be there. We would never want ourselves to feel that hopeless. And in the Scriptures, it gives us a way that we can reach out and we can pull people from that situation. And so if Christ lives in you, you have the responsibility to do the same as Christ did. When someone is reaching out and says, "Help me," you as a Christian need to help. If we are to follow God and we are to live peaceably with all men and we are able to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep and live peaceably with all men, we need to act as Christ does in our life. So I want you to take note. if somebody's not here, try and contact them. If somebody you know is sick, pray for them. Let them know that you're praying for them. Pray with them. If somebody you know is going through something difficult, be there for them. Find out what you can do. Maybe make dinner. Maybe help do a load of laundry. Something along those lines. And what we need to understand is that we might be the only person that's reaching out in their life. And that's rough. That's rough. And as a teacher, that's something that I've had to come to terms with. That's why the job is so tough. It's because you have to come to terms with the fact that you might be the only person in their life that cares. So, his sacrifice gave us hope. His sacrifice gave us faith, and his sacrifice gives us love. And if Christ is willing, we should be as well. He offers salvation through baptism, through the burying of ourselves and raising to walk in newness of life. And when we do that, it is no longer us who live, but Christ who lives in us. And he expects us, as Matthew 5:14 says, to be the light in the world. You are the light of the world. And who shines? Christ shines through us. And so since Christ lives in us, we must reach out our hand for anybody who's willing to help. And I appreciate your listening to me this morning. And like I said, this is something that I have been dealing with for a while, to be honest with you. Just feeling as if there are no answers that I'm able to understand. But I want you to know something, that I love you. That in many ways, I've reached out, and you guys have reached out as well. You guys have helped me pull me out of a lot that I've been going through emotionally. And I appreciate that. And so, like I said, when I say that when you're not here, it matters, I mean it. And so I want you guys to understand how important you are, and I want you to feel empowered that Christ lives in you. I want you to feel empowered to reach out to your brethren and to your neighbors and to be that light that's supposed to shine in the world. The lesson is yours. And when we sing about the power in the blood, as Brother Ace is about to lead for us, I want you to understand who that power was shown through. Because you've got to understand the same.